Take the rest of your change, the egglay towel, and this.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, whatever, voice, I just want to apologize that we're getting off to a bit of a late start, and wish a very hearty mazel tov from the whole tzibur to Rav Ari and his family and the chasana. Be'ez Hashem, bori olam v'kinyan, yashiv ze'avinu l'shem u'teferes with much nachas and good health and continued zikir haravim. It should all be for the schus of the whole family and the leader Nishmas to Ari's father. And we have a lot to thank Rav Ari and his mishpacha for the fact that we're standing here on a weekly basis and now a daily basis. And Be'ez Hashem, may the Feldman family experience many more simchas and may you join in them. Okay. So now, we are going to begin to explore. I have to apologize to the people in the Chabura from yesterday. So before I realized that we're going to have a few weeks to talk about some of the underpinnings of the Melachas of Shabbos and the Klal Yom Melachas, so I said, okay, we're going to talk about Psik Reisha. But then when I realized that we could back up a little bit, so we're going to go a little bit back to Melech Nachsheves and Shinui. And Be'ez Hashem, will, over the next few weeks, we'll be able to explore some of the major highlights of the Lamdas and obviously the Halacha of Shmira Shabbos. Okay, so take the rest of your change. Applications of Shinui on Shabbos and beyond. I was trying to cram in the play on words, like the rest, as in Shabbos, of your change, the Shinoi. So, I don't know how obvious that was.
Keep the change.
Right, okay. So now, let's go, of course, Kedaki Bakredesh, I can't really ever start from the beginning. Let's look at a few psukim that are most of the way down the first page. And the psukim tell us, actually, in this coming week's parasha, Vayomer Moshe al Bnei Yisrael, Ru'u kara Hashem b'shem, Betzalel ben Uri ben Chur lematay Yehuda. Vayimalei Oisa Ruach Elokim Chochmo b'Svuno v'Da'as v'Chol Melacha. Hashem called his name, filled him with Chochmo. V'Lachshoy Machshavoyes La'Asayis B'Azav V'Bakesef V'Manachashes. So suddenly he became an architectural genius, and not only that, but he was good with his hands to actually carry out the Melacha. V'Charoishes Even L'Malas V'Charoishes Eitz. He could do anything. La'Asayis B'Chol Meleches to do all thoughtful work. Thoughtful work. And this.
Thoughtful or thought out?
Professional.
Okay. Yeah. There are probably a few different streams. So the idea is, as we say in.
Purpose, yeah.
In purposeful, that's a good one. Okay, so the idea is, as we say in Lecha Dodi every week, that Shabbos is so ma'aseh b'machshavat tchila, that the paradigm of melacha is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu starting out off the 6 days, the sheshes yemei ha'maaseh, with the ambition and the plan already in mind. Sof ma'aseh b'machshavat tchila. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu planned the whole world out with Adam as its crowning achievement and the most important, the main character. And Shabbos really is at least a microcosm of the purpose of it all, which is after Adam achieves his shleimus, so then he goes to the next stage of getting star. And basically, that's the idea, that's the paradigm of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sheish Yisom Asha Asam Shashamayim V'Sa'aretz, is that of Meleches Machsheves, and the Mishkan, which is a microcosm of the entire world, is the same idea. And for that reason, we say, you don't build the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos, even though the Beis HaMikdash is so important. But the whole idea of the Beis HaMikdash is like the world, so the same way Hashem created the world in 6 days and then he stopped on the seventh day, so we don't build the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos. There is actually, fascinatingly, a very clear, in this week's parasha, the story is that the Mishkan was built on Shabbos, because Rashi explains that Moshe Rabbeinu put up the Mishkan 8 times. The first Shiva Simei Amidurim, which were Sunday through Shabbos, every day Moshe Rabbeinu put up the Mishkan and then take it down. And then finally, on the next day, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Moshe Rabbeinu put it up and it stayed permanently till Chai Yisrael actually moved to the next one of the Chanoyas. But really, so you do have at least one time in history where the Mishkan was actually built on Shabbos, but that was a special Zeres HaKasav, a straight command from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, these 7 days, Shivas Yamin Yimel, Eziyadchem. You don't see it fairish in the Pasuk that Hashem told him to do so, but Chazal say it, and if Chazal say it, they say it. Okay.
It's also Soter as well.
I'm sorry?
Soter al Menat Lichna.
Yes, and actually, perhaps you could use it to be Miyash of the Gemara's question, or the Gemara doesn't use it. The Gemara has a famous cash, or the Gemara says that the klal of Soyser, how are you over on destroying something on Shabbos, which is the opposite of Baina? The Baina, whenever you build a permanent structure, you're over on an Isser of Chalal Shabbos. Soyser is only al Menas Livnois. It's only with the intention to build Bimakaima in that place. In other words, you're knocking down an existing structure in order to build something else or to rebuild that structure in the same place. And the Gemara immediately asks, well, if we're learning it from the Mishkan always was transient and portable structure. So you never built it in the same place. So I remember years ago pointing out that that's actually not true, that it actually happened. There were 8 days straight where it was Livas Mimkoyma, and interestingly enough, it wasn't even an aberration, because even the Shivas Mimkoyma, so Moshe Rabbeinu took down on the last day of the Miluim, and Erev Rosh Chodesh Nisan, he took down the Mishkan, Al Manas Livas Mimkoyma, to put it up in the final stage, meaning if you want to say the first 7 days didn't really count, it wasn't really the Mishkan, but when Moshe Rabbeinu took it down in order to put it up, for real. So, you can go back and forth about this, but then by the time we're finished and learning the Panim Yafas about this, so we're going to be out of time to talk about Shinoi. So, but that is the one of the paradigms of what Shabbos is about, and it is the site of so many of the different Malachas. So we use this terminology, Malachas Nachsheves, and the Gemara says innumerable times, Melechas Machsheves Asra Torah. The Torah prohibited work that is purposeful and thought out, and it comes in many different flavors. What kind of halachic issues that's going to affect? So, let's look at a couple of them. But before I start, I want to just give you just a little bit of an idea of where we're going to go with this, and we mentioned this throughout the week, that the Achronim especially point out many times that many of the basic halachas of Shabbos, which seem to be very Shabbostic, they come from, we all know, that applies to so many different things, but we find them in other places in the Torah, and sometimes even the Gemara compares. The Gemara discusses different ones. So we're going to try to take a taste of that as well, and look into many fascinating areas of Torah. So let's start. So some of this actually is in the booklet. And we're going to mention one thing that I didn't get a chance to put in the Chaye Adam. So let's start. The Mishnah says, HaKoseh Shtei Oisius, Bein B'Yamin or Bein B'Smala, whether you wrote with your right or left hand, Bein Mishteim Echad, Bein Mishtei Shemas, whether it's different words, Bein Mishtei Simonios, Chol Lashon, no matter what language, what alphabet, how many different word combinations you use, two letters is all you need, and you're chayav. Amar Rabbi Yosi, lechibu shtei oisis ela mishum roishem. Rabbi Yosi has a type of chumrah. Rabbi Yosi holds that there's this category of kosev called roshem. It's writing a mark. Shekach kosevin al kar shemesh. Go back to this week's parasha. That is how you would identify the individual krushim, which were supposed to be in the same order every time. See, each one had markings on it that would indicate which one it was and what it was next to. Leida Ezu Ben Zuga, to know which was the one that it would match up to on its side. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Matzinu Shem Kata Mishem Gadol, Shem Mishimon Umishmuel, the famous Sefer Shem Mishmuel, Rabbi Shmuel Bornstein. We're going to quote his father here extensively, the Eglital. So it's actually named after this phrase in the Mishnah. His name was Shmuel. That you write two letters, Shem, which are the first two letters of Shimon and Shmuel. Noach Minachar, Dami Daniel, Gami Gadiel. Okay. So what we really want to take out of this Mishnah is the fact that the Mishnah focuses on you when it lists off the different malachas over here. So it says that you are a chayav for writing, whether with your right or with your left hand. Okay, so then the question is, Why is that so? What's the idea? How does that compare to other halachas? So let's see. So first, I just want to quickly just take a peek into Rashi, where Rashi discusses Shitas Rav Yosi. The Gemara is going to try to figure out, what does Rav Yosi mean? Is he arguing? Is he agreeing? Is he saying something different? So Va'as Rav Yosi, the Meimer says Rashi in the middle, that filu lo kasav, even if he didn't actually write, ela rosham shnei rishimus, but you made markings, ba'alma, just markings, l'simin, it's only a sign, it's not an actual letter, still your chayav of Chilul Shabbos, it's a type of kaisei. So the Gemara says like this, Bishlama, this is not the beginning of the Gemara, but we skip to where it's relevant. Bishlama, I am mainly chayav. I understand that when a person writes with his right hand, he's chayav for kaisev on Shabbos. Mishum the derech ksivu bekach. That's how you write. Ella small am I. Person writes with his left hand. Why should he be chayav for writing on Shabbos? So ain't derech ksivu bekach. And that's a principle in the Torah. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu be'iter yad shanu. We're talking about a lefty. With the havi small the day came in the kuli alma. Yeah, and. And so, Fret the Gemara, 1 second. But if that's the case, so his left, you're right, it should be like everyone else's right hand. But I'm in loyal chayev. How are you telling me in one breath he's chayev both imin and small? If it's talking about a lefty, and that's why it's small, so he shouldn't be chayev imin because he doesn't write well with that hand. And for him, it's a shinui. Ela Amar Abaye. No, the Mishnah is talking about not like Rabbi Yirmiyahu said, but rather, b'shtayodav, he is ambidextrous.
He plays ball with his left.
Well, the implication seems to be the implication seems to be that he's ambidextrous within the activity of writing.
What does it matter whether the means is a different way? The outcome is still the
excellent. So you're already bringing the firepower of the Chai Adam Svar that Mishnah Berurah brings, and when they get there very soon, and as Hashem, we're going to try to delineate between different types of halacha where the way that you did it is going to be impactful and meaningful when it comes to looking at your action and determining whether it's a shina. So let's just give it a couple of minutes and we'll see how it plays out in different forms of malacha. Rabbi Yaakov Breider Bas Yaakov Omar, Ha'mani Rabbi Yosi. The actual shita that is being represented here in the Mishnah is Rabbi Yosi himself, who's mentioned by name right afterwards, but he's the one who wrote the first part of the Mishnah here as well. The Amar lechivu shtei oisus ela mishum roishin. In as Rabbi Yaakov, the Bas Yaakov, he says that the reason that we're chayev, whether with your right hand or with your left hand, is not like Abaye said that we're forced to be making a kimt in the Mishnah that we're talking about, where he actually is ambidextrous, but rather since Rabbi Yosi is the town of the Mishnah, and he, as we see right afterwards, holds that even marking is a type of malacha. So we have a default. Whenever you do something with your left hand, it's no worse than a mark. Right. So, because since marking is a tolda, and the mela marking, which needs much less precision and accuracy, is not something which requires you to use your better hand. So because of that, you actually are chayav, according to Rabbi Yosi, if not from the straight up kaisev, but at least with some roshem, anytime you write, even with your hand, which is not as strong. Vahami the sefer Rabbi Yosi, Rachel Rabbi Yosi, Kula Rabbi Yosi, it's all Rabbi Yosi. Okay, so it's a little bit shver, but that's what the Gemara says over here. There are two different. Okay, so you have to look at the Pesukim to see how we actually pass in over here. That's another point that needs to be traced through to see which svaras we adapt. Well, let's see Rashi over here. Hamani Rabbi Yosi, the loy by yiksiva. Rabbi Yosi doesn't require that the baseline for being chayav for kosev is full blown writing. Ela roishem ba'alma, it's good enough to make a meaningful mark. Uvesmaila roishem miyahava, and even when you write with your left hand, that is just as good when it comes to making a mark. Okay. So now the question becomes, obviously, what are the sources that are driving the Gemara's assumptions over here? The Gemara is making assumptions that if we look at Kosev as the way the other Tanakh hold, not Rabbi Yosi, so if you didn't actually write the letter the way you're normally supposed to write, so here, and here's the catch, presumably, even if it came out good, and you wrote very, 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 very slowly, and you got it to look pretty decent, still, it's not going to be a regular malacha. That seems to be the assumption. Okay? And so why? So why? So let's look at the chidush arans, the miyuchas aran, the two chidush arans on Shabbos. What does he say over here? Ve'ikal ha-meidak. We can be medayak over here in the Gemara. The hocha patrinon v'mi she'eino sherlet b'shtei yadav im kasav v'smol. Okay? So over here, it's only according to Shitas Rav Yossi that he holds that Roishem is good enough. So Memela Kosev is no worse than Roishem. But according to the other Tanoim that don't count Roishem as a part of the actual Av, so you have to actually write with the hand that you're able to write with. Okay? And that's how we pass
it. Yeah, but it should be also according to Rav Yossi. If you're looking at the Derech that he did it, nobody does Roshem with your righty, you do your Roshem with your right hand.
So the assumption seems to be that when you have a gross motor movement, you're not really so concerned. You have to maybe be an actuary and, you know, sit there, come out with some algorithm, you know, like maybe go to the techies at TikTok or someone with good algorithms. Figure out if we take all of the billions of hours of footage of everyone in the whole world and analyze it, you know, figure out how often does a person who's a righty use his left hand for some random thing where he could have actually used his right hand, or the other way around, and figure out, you know, what it is. And like the Gemara says that the Anshei Hutzel used to carry their burdens on their head. It's actually a pasuk where in Parashas Mikates. Okay? Actually, the end of Vayesha. The end of Vayesha. That V'inei Shlosha Salei Chori Al Roshi. So it wasn't just in Hutzel. In Egypt also, apparently, unless it was only when you were dreaming in Egypt. So maybe at least in Egyptian dreams, people were carrying things on their head.
Hutzel was like a dream.
Okay. So basically, we do have situations where you can even have a society or a community where people do things, and it's butla daitam. It's butla daitam. But so that's the question of what generally speaking happens. But the assumption over here seems to be that when it's not something that needs such accuracy, so the average person is not going to be makbid. I think I turn on a light almost always with my right hand, but if I'm passing by and I need to turn the light on, I'm not going to think twice about turning it on with my left hand. Which brings us to the Chai Adam. Because the Chai Adam that the Shabura quotes, and it's over here on page, I'm sorry, I just didn't put it in here, but it's in our booklets. And where is it in our booklets? Can anyone tell me? It is... Shin is not such a big sugi here. Here. So it's page 254. The top, the number 11, says the Mishnah Berurah Kasav Achai Adam, and this is what Rav Ari was referring to before. Rav Ari, do you have a booklet?
No,
okay. Okay, see, he has to see inside what he said. Okay, Kasav Achai Adam. The Kol HaMalachas Chutz MiKosev, all Malachas besides for Kosev, Chayav Bein B'Yamin or Bein B'Smardo. He goes out on a limb, I would say, and he doesn't just say, depending on what the Malacha is. He makes a blanket statement and says, this Gemara is a representative of the only one of the 39 Malachas where we say, we differentiate between right and left hand. After Ragloi, the Piv, Umar Pekoi, Mashmasham, the Pater V'Aser. So basically he's saying that really with other Malachas that don't need such precision, so either hand is going to be Mechayav, we're not Mechayav between hands, as long as you got it right, as long as you did a normal thing. So it's a malacha, you're chayav. Except, he says, that when it gets a little more extreme, that you're actually using your mouth or your elbow, right? So then, pater va'aser, then pater va'aser. Honestly, this is a question. What about turning on a light? Right? What's the chayadim talking about? So the chayadim is trying to say that all malachas are like this. So that's a tremendous chiddush. Why is it a tremendous chiddush? Because kosev is not the only malacha which requires precision. What?
Isn't he based on the run?
Yeah.
So the Ran says, because in other melachos, we find that people use their left hand sometimes.
Yeah.
Right, but the question is, are we leaving it, are we closing it off to anything besides Kaysev, which is perhaps one of the most, it requires a muscle. If I am a potter, and I'm making a jug, okay? So I make a jug from nothing, so it's bone, okay? Or I'm building something. I use my left hand. That's the normal left hand. Is it totally interchangeable? It's clearly not totally interchangeable. Right, so some luck and some mushroom turning on the light switch is the best example of the Chai Adam. The light switch, and let me explain, let me give you one extra layer of Svara that the Chai Adam is saying over here. There are some types. I was just recently watching a video that there was an artillery commander who gave about a minute and a half demo of how they shoot the artillery piece with a 44 kilo missile, you know, completely in Yiddish. So it was actually, my mother-in-law actually got a very big kick out of it. It was all in Yiddish, and he was a very pleasant guy. And so you see that they have...
And he wasn't a chassid.
Right. I don't know exactly what he was. It was very fascinating.
Must have been a
anyway, but it was pretty self-explanatory. And basically what you see is that the guy picks up his 44-kilo missile and puts it up onto the loader, and like he hits a button, and the thing rams it right in. So certain things, it doesn't happen in numerous different pathways. If I turn on the light switch, there's no way that it could zig and zag and waver and squiggle. It's a light switch. Right. So no matter how I hit it, the same thing will happen. It's different than when I'm laying bricks and being over on the Isra of Boina, and I could get it right or wrong. I could get it a little bit more even, a little less even. In other words, some types of malacha is just pushing something or pulling something or hitting something, and it doesn't really... Not just the final part of it, but even just the whole pathway of the action is uniform. It doesn't have a way to move. It's just doing something very, very basic. So in there, L'Charetz Pashat, the Chai Adam's point, is screaming, yeah, well, it doesn't make a difference. Even if Enechanami, it's harder for you to use your left hand. But all you're doing is setting something into motion, and it's already, the light switch has its track that it goes on. That's it.
It's a question of the level of precision that's required, and grinding is the highest level of precision.
100%.
Other things can also require.
Right. So that's the question. Is this a blanket statement? He says this is one of the only malacha.
That's how the Ron brings to both extremes. You've got ksiva and hotzah. Which is probably hotzah, you need nothing.
Exactly. And not only that, but hotzah is even one worse because of the fact that as the Rishonim explained, Hotzah is a malacha geruah. It's the only malacha which makes no change other than location. Every other malacha makes some change in what
something
you're actually
changed.
Working on. And even, they actually do use it with one other, some Rishonim use it with Borer as well. Because it also, you're not actually changing something, you're just separating two things. And then you have other related malachas of Merakeid and Even dash, but dash is you're breaking something apart. It's a little bit more. But basically, the point is that the malacha over here of kosev, so the Chai Adam seems to jump on the fact that the Mishnah uses the right and the left dafka here and say, yeah, that's not a coincidence. It's only by kosev because that's the most precise of all the malachas. Okay? And according to Rav Yossi, even that doesn't exist because even though it's a precision malacha, but since it's a tolda, which is a marking, so that also goes out the window, and we don't care how you got there as long as you got there.
So according to the Chai Adam, I'm a lefty. I cook with my right hand. I put a steak on the grill with my right hand.
Yeah, it's Pashat the Yerchai. Yeah.
That is that is a Chai.
No, it's not.
It's not.
It's right. Not. Right. It's totally not.
Only by writing.
Right. And obviously, if you're
drawing... It depends how meticulous you are putting on the steak on the grill.
Okay.
That's how hungry I am.
Oh, you see...
Turning it over every 30 seconds.
Okay, very good.
Interesting.
Okay. So now...
interesting.
So I just want to... Now that we got here so far, so this gets very specific and it gets very, very... It gets very, very impactful on the Chayav. So I just want to take a step back and just quote... Another place where the Gemara uses these psukim that we just skipped now, Melechus Nachsheves, says the Mishnah in Chagiga, Heter Nedarim Porchin Bo'avir. Hataras Nadarim, that mechanism floats in the air. Ve'ein lohem al mashe yismochu. The fact that Heter Nadarim doesn't come crashing down to the ground under its own weight for lack of any biblical support is miraculous. Because really there's nothing in the Torah. We do see the Gemara says it has, there are a couple of drushes, but basically there's no indication of the idea that a person could go to a chacham and get his nether nullified. Hilchas Shabbos is a little bit less than that. It's not actually floating in the air on nothing. Hilchas Shabbos, chagigos umi'ilos harayhem keharorim hataluyin b'se'ara. They are like mountains hanging on a hair. Shehein mikra muat v'halachas merubas. Now that we understand the first mashal in the Mishnah, the mikra is the hair, and the halachas are the mountain, and the mountain is hanging on one hair. You have this massive mountain of halachas, which actually hangs on one hair, as opposed to Hataras Nadarim, where there is no source in the Torah for Hataras Nadarim, so it's actually hanging in midair without anything. Okay? Fine. And this maybe goes into the mashal, the famous, the way of being Magdir Alamdin, is that he's Oiker Harim, that he uproots mountains, and he grinds them against each other. The idea being that his Svara is so powerful that he doesn't need to go to the source. He takes the Svara and he's able to modify the halachas. It's also the Hasidish Svarim say beautifully at the famous Gemara in the end of Sukkah that talks about how at Tzadikim and Rishayim La'asalava, when the Yetzahara is going to be shechted, so the Gemara says they're both going to cry. And why? Because the Tzadikim look at the Yetzahara and they see it as a mountain.
Right.
And they cry and they say, how in the world? They have post-trauma from everything they had to go through in order to defeat this mountain. And the Rishayim cry because they see the Yetzahara is this one little hair. And so I thought to explain that Gemara based on this, which is that really life is just one long sequence of decisions, which are called Yir HaShemayim. Every second you're making new decisions. Right? The guy does a daf every year, every day, so he turns around at the end of the year and he did 365 daf. Right? And the other guy just, every day he made a little decision. And then by the time the year is over, there's a mountain over there. So Tzadikim had to make many, 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 many small decisions, which are hairs, right? But through doing that, they conquered the mountain. And that's why they look at the Yetzirah and the Shech and say, wow, how did I conquer the mountain? And the Rishayim say, oh my gosh, if I would have just had that little hair, I could have hung the mountain on it. But I never had that hair. Every time I came to the little decision, I kept on failing and failing and failing until my whole life was one big failure of all the little hairs. So I think that's maybe the tushta. So what I want from over here, so the Gemara says, this idea that Shabbos is very, very few halachas, very few mekaras, but they are many halachas, where does that come from? So says the Gemara, Hilchos Shabbos, Michtuk Sivan. What do you mean? It says Hilchos Shabbos in the Torah. Loi, Tzricha, look at the Rabbi Abba, the Amar Rabbi Abba, Choy for a Guba B'Shabbos. Somebody who digs a hole on Shabbos, a ditch, we brought this, right? This is Malachos Shem Tzricha Gufa. Ve'ein Tzarech El Efra. He doesn't really need the hole. What he needs is all the dirt, and that's why he's digging the hole. Instead of walking all over the earth, taking different handfuls, he just stays in one place and digs a hole, and now he has his dirt. Okay? Pater aleha. So he's pater for that. Keman kreb shimin da amar malacha shein tzricha legufa. You're doing the malacha, knowledge, you're intentionally doing the malacha, purposefully doing the malacha, but your ambition of the reason you're doing this malacha is different than everyone else's. So pater aleha, you're pater. Afilu tem Rabbi Yehuda, says the Gemara. The Gemara says, even Rabbi Yehuda, who disagrees with Rabbi Shimon, is mechayiv you, wait. Hasam sakin. Hacham akalkalu. So the Gemara says, even Rabbi Yehuda has room to be mekel, because even though he disagrees in principle to Rabbi Shimon's three shittas about Shabbos, right? There's a klal that Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, the halacha is always like Rabbi Yehuda. And there are three heavy hitters that are all Shabbos related, where we paskin, like Rabbi Shimon. Okay, and so we have Darv Shem Miskavim, we have Nachshon Esrich LeGufa. Even Rabbi Yehuda's maskim that when there's an additional layer of mekalkel that it's not constructive but destructive, so you could also be pater. So says the Gemara, my karon atulim b'sara. What are the Aharonim doing b'svara? Meleches machsheves asra taira. Umeleches machsheves loiksiva. So even though the pasuk says meleches machsheves, that's just describing how Bezalel made the Mishkan. It's complete Torah Shabbat Peh that the Rav HaTalia. The Torah Shabbat Peh tells us that in Parshas Vayakel, so Moshe Rabbeinu throws in the, you know, don't be mechalel Shabbos. Oh, we have a shidduch here between Shabbos and the Melech Mishkan. But really, the fact that the Mishkan takes up huge amount of parshas, so it's written so much, but no one ever indicated in the Torah that there is a connection between the two. So that's why it's Karam Atliyim V'Sa'ara. Okay. And the same thing in the Gemara Sanhedrin, just used, I just took a one tiny blurb about Misasik V'Shabbos, Pater, person who's not even aware of what he's doing. Why is he Pater? Melech Shabbos Asatara comes back to this pasuk, and that is actually an example of Karon et Kliyim Besar. Okay, so now we are going to embark on a bit of a journey in examining, is this all really true? Is this a din in Hilchas Shabbos? This idea of doing Melacha the right way, the way that's comfortable and productive for you, and otherwise you're not Chayev, is that really just ripped straight off the Mishkan? Because if you don't do it like that, it's Melechus Machsheves. If you do it like that, it's Melechus Machsheves. And if not, so you're not doing regular purposeful Melechus. Ah. So now, let's look at two sources. We'll start, I would like, with your permission, with Rav Elchanan in Maseches Ksubis. Okay? I gave them out, I think almost everyone has them. So, in Kervitz Yerub, Rav Elchanan Wasserman, this is not the only place he talks about it. He discusses this idea, and it's actually a bit of a similar thought process to the Avnei Nezer, to the Eglei Tal. And the basic premise is the Torah presumes that we do things in a normal way, and that there are many, many outlets where the Torah imposes this idea onto other areas of halacha, onto many varied areas of halacha. And that's going to be a nafkamina. So let's see a couple of things that Rav Elchanan brings down here. In Ois Reish Beis, on page 50 Gimel, so the Gemara says that if a person were, instead of milking a cow, which is a melacha d'oraisa of dash, a person squeezes the udder of the cow and causes the milk to separate from the cow, that's similar, the Gemara says, to threshing grain and separating the edible grain from the inedible chaff. So the same is true when you milk a cow on Shabbos. It's a similar type of melacha. It's asa misum dash, and this is known in the poskim as schita. Schita actually has two forms. The form of schita, which is a type of melabin, because you squeeze out of clothing with the water, and the water sweeps the dirt out. So it's a toldah of melabin. And the what maybe we're a little more used to, so that's like the type of, when you're using doing laundry on Shabbos, you know, and you squeeze it out, or even the sponge that you use to wash dishes with is that type, as opposed to squeezing, let's say, grapes to make wine. That's a toldah of dash over here. So now, yonik mefarek kol achar yadu. So the Gemara says in Ksubis that if a person would actually suck the milk out of the udder of a cow, so even though it's mefarek, which is a type of dash, but it's kila achar yad, that's not normal. Meaning for a calf, it's quite normal, right? But for a yid, you know, you go to the makola and buy yourself
a calf. No judgment.
Clearly, you guys are never farmers.
Okay. We're thirsty. So now, says Rav Elchanan, I didn't realize that I was going to pique such interest up here, but okay. Nireh dahad patr b'Shabbos ba'osa kila achar yad. That which a person is patr on Shabbos when you do things backhandedly, not the normal way, which till now we've been saying is an issue of meleches machsheves. Okay, says Rav Elchanan, no, I don't think so. I don't think it's just that. Ein adin miyuchad v'isurei Shabbos. It's not a din which is specific to Shabbos, kimari, like, for example, other dinim, which are like this, like what? Mekalkel. If you do some, if a person does a malacha on Shabbos, but it actually causes damage as opposed to being constructive. So when we have other isurim in the Torah, we don't necessarily use that yardstick to measure whether you're over on the isur. A person, God forbid, kills somebody. We don't
say, well, was this a good or a bad person? Right? It's Ritzicha. Or a person cuts off a tzaras. So there's an issue to do that. Do we try to, did you do a good job? Or did you mess yourself up? We don't evaluate other Isurim by, you know, was it successful and constructive or not? But when it comes to Shabbos, because the idea of Shabbos is constructive, Melechus Machsheves, so it's like that. That is Mekalkel, that is Pater on Shabbos, Umalacha Shein Tzricha Legufa, Umalacha that you're not doing for its real destined purpose. Those are types of ideas which are specific to Shabbos. Elokeinu B'kol Din HaTorah, rather, but when it comes to this, when it comes to doing something in a not normal and abnormal way, that's true of other dinim in the Torah as well. Shelo nemru ela kefi derech haragel. They're only said concerning when you do it the way that's normal. Umehai taiman, for this reason, says Rabbi Chanan, pater ba'achilas v'hanos itzer. Someone mentioned this in the shir a couple of days ago and I blew him off until I saw this Rabbi Chanan. That, or I think maybe it was Shimon that said, the Gemara himself tells us that hanos habal adam ba'al karachai, and the Gemara talks about shaloika derech hanosan, and so comes Rabbi Chanan. So that the Avnezer says that that's not a kasha because he always has these very fascinating comparisons. Rav Chanan says it over here is a chiddush. So he says that's why when you have achila vehanah, it's a shaloi kederach achila vehanah. So the Torah absolves you at least from the full punishment. Why the kivan the kasav kra achila stam loyiri ela bekedak. And I just want to make a point. This is not true in the sense that you might be understanding it. If I use, let's say,
use a small fork.
If I, you know, what's the name of that game where you like you put this little ball somewhere and you get like a 28 steps.
Labyrinth.
No, not the lab. No, it's like all these crazy like machine, like it's a kind of labyrinth.
Yeah. Mousetrap.
Mouse. Okay, maybe like that. Okay, mousetrap is you put this ball rolling and 28 things have to happen until it gets to the other side and it has to jump from here and knock this over, right? So like if I do that and then a piece of treif just flies right into my mouth, the Torah doesn't care that that's how it happened. Chew, gulp, malchus, right? In other words, the way that you made this happen could be the craziest kala achariyad. It's just that the actual condition that the food is in, right, or the way that you're getting the hanah is not the normal type of hanah. That's where we say that if it's not the normal derech, then you're potter. But if I did some kind of crazy convoluted way to get the food into my mouth, as long as I ate it normally, then we're not looking at that. So it's not we're not exactly comparing it to Shabbos, where yes, the way that I did it is going to make a difference.
You know, like if a guy puts it in your mouth.
No, so that's the Gemara Ksubis that talks about, let's say someone shoved it in your mouth, and the Gemara differentiates between different stages.
You didn't have to chew and swallow.
I'm sorry?
You didn't have to chew and swallow.
So that's the question. How far down did he put it? Assuming the Gemara talks about kaful parasim, to eat something, either matzah as a mitzvah or tarfas as an avera. Okay, but lemaisa, as long as you were masking to eat it, so you're chayav.
You swallow gum instead of chewing it.
Swallow gum?
You're saying that if the gum wouldn't be kosher, but gum is not normally considered royal achila? Is that what you want to know?
No,
but the derech is not chewing. Kosher. If you already
put
chewed
it in your mouth, then you swallow it.
You swallow whole, you mean?
Swallow whole, but not chewing.
Oh, so you want to know whether right. So
the principle's coming, you got to swallow it.
There you go, of course.
You have enough for the whole class.
Okay, there you go.
That's like the 60s, 50s.
Umi high time a potter v'achilas v'anos itzir shalei kederach achila v'anos the kibbutz the kots of kro achila stam. The Torah never has a drusha here, but it just says achila. La'ayri ela v'kedarka. It means you ate it normally. You ate it when it was fully made. You ate it when it didn't have some kind of denaturing chemical in it. But Tana the Rebbe, Rabbi Yishmael, Reish Perak Ha'arva Roitev in the beginning of that parak in Chulin, so we learn Al Kol Zera Zerua Asheri Zareya is talking about Hekshel Akabal Tuma. That's what our writer is about. Kederach Shabnei Adam Mitziyin Lizria, the same way that people put out the Mayim for Zria, it has to be normal how this thing became Mukshel Akabal Tuma. V'rayel is that the Pesach Shabishlu B'chamei Tveria, the Potter K'moy B'Shabbes. The tallest chama ain't a bishul. So he says he pulls something out of his pocket. It's a very impressive thing. We have elsewhere in the Torah where even things that seem much more specific for Shabbos are going to actually have the same type of rule. What's a beautiful example? We know that the Torah tells us that I remember reading about this a couple of years ago. There's a building that some super highfalutin architect built in London. And of course, when you're, nothing against Yehuda David at all, but you know, not everyone in London is, even if they're brilliant architects, they didn't always see into the future. So what happened was that this fellow, of course, he's trying to build something that looks different than everything else. See, he built this convex tower. Now, what was the problem? It's totally fine. It looks a very interesting shape. And the problem is, right, is it convex or concave? Which one is it? It goes in.
It's concave.
Concave. Concave. Concave. Concave. So he built the concave tower, and what happened was it served as an intensifying mirror, a prism, to take all the sunlight and focus it on the sidewalk. So people started getting burnt. Things started melting on the sidewalk down on the bottom of this building because of the fact that he was such a chacham that he made a concave facade to the building that it literally started superheating the sidewalk till people like were posting videos of frying an egg on the sidewalk, and they actually put some kind of coating on the mirror on the glass facade of the building to help halt the sunlight and make it less intense. So why am I saying this? Because the Gemara says that toldos chama, that if you cook on something that was heated up by the sun, you're over ambitious. However, if you cook in the chama itself, if the sunlight itself is heating it up, that's totally not derech bishul, and therefore, even if you actually succeed in cooking it, so you're not actually going to be over the full malacha. So the question is, what happens in other times where the Torah recognizes bishul as an issue? Lamashal, you're not allowed to cook the Korban Pesach; it has to only be roasted.
Right.
You have an issue of cooking basar b'chalav. So the chare. Just let me get to the finish line. Who in the world cares how I did it? Isn't the point that it's not supposed to be cooked? It's not supposed to be cooked together, basar and chalav? Isn't that the point? So Rav Chanan says a startling thing. Not true. And he says, the Pesach Shebishle B'chamei Tveria, which is, since it's naturally occurring, it's considered like sunlight. You cook in Chamei Tveria, you're not chayav. Right? Pesach Shebishle B'chamei Tveria, the potter, k'moy b'Shabbos. The Toldos Chama ain't a bishul. The Tama the Potter b'Shabbos b'Shem the ain derech bishul b'kach. K'moy shapirus Rashi Shabbos laflamates. V'nira duhu adin le'inin mevashel b'basar b'cholav b'chama. So Rabbi Chanan adds his own Tosafos and he says that you're not allowed to cook basar b'cholav if you cook it in the chama. The gam kein Potter b'Shem the ain derech bishul b'kach. Even though it's totally cooked like everything else. Who cares? It tastes just as good, right? So here also it's a little bit interesting because as Chazal Darshan, the three times it says Lesivash to be Bachalev Imay, so it's not just the Hana and it's not just the Achila, but the Bishul itself is also Asr, even if you throw it out. So it's a little bit more but the truth is it's the same as Korban Pesach. That it's not just you're not allowed to eat it when it's cooked. You're not allowed to cook it. Right? Even though, whatever, after it's roasted, we know, different story. Okay, so basically Rabbi Chanan is saying, good morning, I have a chiddush for you, that all the kedarka or shalom kedarka that we are used to from Shabbos, and the Gemara even indicates to us that there's a melechus machshavas component, says Rabbi Chanan, it's not exclusively melechus machshavas. There's also an aspect B'kala Torah Kula, that if you're not doing it in a normal way, so it's also not going to be chayav. Okay, and since, as we know, melacha is not just the result. I'm allowed to live in a house on Shabbos, I just can't build it. I'm allowed to eat cooked food on Shabbos, I just can't cook it. Right? So, on Shabbos, the idea is, don't build. Don't write. I'm allowed to read a sefer on Shabbos, I just can't write it. So the point is that the activity, the constructive activity is what the Torah is answering. It's not just the foundation is not just the Melechus Machshavas, it's also the Torah's rejection of Shaloi Kedarka in different ways. Look at the next thing. This mamash sounds like that. It's amazing Rabbi Chanan said this.
Does the Gemara actually use Melechus Machshavas when it comes to Shinui?
Does the Gemara use that?
Did
Didn't we start with that?
Maybe I'm wrong. Why don't we start with that? For sure, Miss Asik, the Gemara Sanhedrin, that's the last thing that we put in. Right. Okay, so we can look, I'm positive that it's there, and it's for sure also true. Don't get me wrong, Rav Chana is not saying it's not true. He's just saying you don't need Meleches Machsheves as the only source, and then we're stuck that Shabbos is the only din in the Torah that has it. So of course it's a and Rabbi Kiva Eger has in the Tshuva, but Ezra Shem will get to it in ensuing weeks where he talks about Miss Asik and he says exactly this point that there are two different levels of Miss Asik. There's Miss Asik B'Kala Torah Kula, and Miss Asik on Shabbos, and that adds an extra level of Kula because throughout the whole Torah there's no Meleches Machsheves component. And through in Hilchos Shabbos there is, and therefore you're even more mekel when it comes to Misasik on Shabbos. So that's what we're going to do, but we're going to get to it, but we haven't hit Misasik so much yet. Now, but look at Rabbi Chanan, how far he takes it. Look at Ois Reish Gibel, and it mamish seems like it's a very, very fascinating type of svara. But Pirush Rabbeinu Chanan on Chagiga, the Tez Zayin, says Rabbi Chanan, there's a fascinating Kiddush, and it's equally fascinating how Rabbi Chanan tries to take it home and bring it into our sugya. The Hamis Aberes Be'ambati, that if a woman, the Gemara talks about a case, nowadays it happens all the time, but we're very grateful to Chazal that talked about this wacko case that Kamak can't ever only a few documented times in history it happened, but it happens in laboratories every day all over the world. A woman is taking a bath, and somehow someone else who took a bath there left a little bit of semen there, and it ends up in her uterus, and she gets pregnant. And before anyone thought of an IVF, so you have Misaberes Bambati. Okay? So now, Misaberes Bambati, so says Rabbeinu Chananel, a bomb b'chiddush, that what? That if a woman was Misaberes in such a way without a bia, ain't a tmei leida. She gives birth to a 10 pounder, right? She's not tamei. The Torah says, "Yisak he says, 'Yav yad azachar v'tamar shabes yamim.'" Right? And v'rim dekei v'hi v'tamar shuvaim kinidasa. Right? So it's a pasuk in the Torah. Says Rabbi Nachmanu, "V'hainu the stam leida k'simu b'Torah, ari b'leida k'derech harigila." Yisak he says, "Ria." Right? There's a zera going on over here. There's a hazara. If it's not normal, says Rabbi Nachmanu. So the same way we all know that if it says v'yolda zachar and Chazal darshan that if she gives birth in not a normal way, there's a C-section, right? So it doesn't push the mitzvah of bayamashmina yimo besara lasa over the edge to the extent where it can actually be matir chelo Shabbos. So you have a C-section. So the halacha is that the child is not. His bris is not like a Shabbos because it wasn't a regular leida. So that we already have, the Gemara says it. The Rabbi Nachmanu takes it to another stage that even the pregnancy is going to influence halachas that come from the birth. So says Rabbi Nachmanu, this connects back to what I was telling you before. That whenever you have dinim in the Torah, we're talking about what's normal. And not when it's not normal. Avoldavar Pashit, says Rabbi Nachmanu, the zet talu yakol lefi azman lefi amakon. It's not just the same flavor for every single din. What does he mean? Kegayim b'melechas Shabbos, when it comes to halachas Shabbos, melechas of Shabbos, da'amoyti b'mar pekoy, that if you take it out with your elbow, pater mipnei she'ene kederech haitzah b'chol, ilu nishtana minigo oilam b'chol. If, imagine the Hutzal would do a hostile takeover of the whole world, and suddenly you wouldn't have to be wearing a burqa in order to have a jug on your head, the entire world would be walking around with a jug on their head. So then they wouldn't be but like the Yitzchak Adam anymore. The things change. Okay? Shakol motziim b'mar pekon, v'adai ha'yachayev gam b'Shabbos. So it is something which is flexible. We are looking over our shoulder and seeing what does everyone else do. It's not like a xeris akasav. It has to be exactly like this and not like that. V'loi nemar kivan shenitna halacha the motziim b'mar pekon pater eich yishtane hadin. Next page. Zaina, we don't say that. There never was a halacha that it's the thing itself. Liftor haitzah b'marpeh. The pater Haitza with your elbow. We once went to the next page of Rav Chanan.
Not everybody got a kufiyut dalet.
No?
That's okay.
Mm.
Don't worry about it.
Okay, I didn't
get
the
kufiyut dalet. Yeah, because that was
my shirt. Okay, I guess there weren't enough kids. Okay. Kufiyut dalet. Okay, so now, Ella halacha haitza moitzi shaloi kederech hamoitzin. B'chol, whoever does haitza, not the way that you would normally do it in a weekday. V'halacha hazayis kayemes. The halacha stays. Ela shenishtana din derech hamitzin b'chol. But it's possible for the normal way that people carry things to change. V'alzeh lo yitna halacha eichi hei derech haitza b'chol. It's not a din. That depends on just take a poll. V'hinei v'harakavas ilonos oirim she'achshav nishtana aminun. So he brings an example. Says Rabbi Chanan, if you look in Meseches Kelayim, it has all different ways of doing Kelayim, and some are Kedarka, some are Shaloi Kedarka, says Rabbi Chanan, but now the word is on the street that things have changed in how people graft trees, which is an Isser, right, to graft trees. She'ema kivin yichor be'ilon kibashanu kaimonius. They don't put a sapling and kind of make a hole in a tree and dig it into another tree. Elash she'shoifchin mitz hazera, that rather they actually put some of the sap from one tree into the other tree. V'rav echad kasav biyarachin sharet zion, and a certain rav wrote in a rabbinical periodical, the ein oivrin ba'oifen zeh b'lois haseh da'arkavas ilon. So look at how Rabbi Chanan takes this for a slam dunk. Unbelievable, he says. And this applies all over the Torah. So a certain rav said, well, you know, we look at all the sources in Hilchos Kelayim. This is not a normal way of Kelayim to spritz the sap from one tree into the next, and therefore it's not kederach harkava, and it won't be in this of the raisa. Well, the fiyam avura, according to what I just said, Rav Chanan, that Rav is wrong. Ena kain that filu name of the bishanu kain marnius ilu asa kain loy hayu mischayev mishom mischayev of an isa the raisa of kalayim the asa ya oifin zesh loy kederach harkiva. That's how people didn't do it that way. And well, akshav shah kolois and kain. That's how you graft trees. That's how you combine different species. Im kain kachi derech harkavas, and says Rav Chanan, a bum b'chiddush that you could put all the mishnayos to the side. Now that the entire agricultural world changed its tactic, so you can be over on a new isa deraisa with a totally new way of doing things.
So, what do you say? Same thing about IVF now, that it's not so uncommon. So,
okay, so that's an excellent question.
It's
an excellent question. I think it's significant that the Gemara often says when it refers to bias ish v'isha kederach kala aretz, right? It comes from v'nois light. The ein ish lava elenu kederach kala aretz, and the Gemara uses that expression sometimes. That's a natural process. It's a very good question. I don't even know. In other words, how far do you go with this, right? But Rabbi Chanan says, he shakes the rafters, Rabbi Chanan, and he says this halacha that everything has to be kedarkan actually applies in an undocumented case. I'm claiming that this Rav knew the Mishnah Kalayim, but he didn't realize by his side that the Mishnah Kalayim might not apply anymore if the entire world does it differently. And Anshe Yutzel is not a good example, because Anshe Yutzel, they all carried it on their head and everyone did it like that way, and they're all potter and bezdin, even though everyone in the whole city carries it that way because no one else in the world does. But if everyone else in the world would, yeah, then Enoch Adonim.
What point does it become everyone else? Like, he's the city of
excellent, excellent. So that's a very difficult question. And Anshe Yutzel is a halachic paradigm. I remember hearing from my father-in-law a few years ago, he was talking about an easier-to-understand application of this, which is Bishul Akum. So my shver told me, as of year X, I can't remember how many years ago it was, the majority of fish consumed on the island of Manhattan is raw.
Sushi.
If you think about the
Brooklyn as well,
Mistama. If you think about, but you know, we're going with the place where the trends hit the hardest. The kitchens are all empty and the restaurants are all full. It's a certain way of consumerism.
That's Brooklyn.
Well, Manhattan, I think, still has the edge on that one. Okay, so my point is that the question becomes: could a guy cook fish for you now? Because now fish is mostly eaten raw.
Oh, so drinking water.
Maybe it changes the din. The principle of Vishal Akam is something that needs to be cooked, so is an issue of Vishal Akam. But water, there's no din like that.
Right.
Apples, there's no din like that if you want a cooked apple, because apples don't need to be cooked, right? So fish used to need to be cooked, and now it doesn't.
So I'm not sure what the place to say about it, and if we can say, is it just Manhattan batal daita itzel kol ha'olam, or do we say no, Manhattan is the trend-setting capital of the world? So I don't really know. I don't really know, but
Japan,
I'm just...
Japan's an entire country.
Okay.
So that's...
You're saying it's always been like that.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's not just the city, the entire
country. Right, so that's maybe a good example that of Japan is Hutsu, meaning maybe they're doing a takeover of the world, but I think that's a very good point, that I think that Gemara of Hutsu is paradigmatic Gemara, because that shows you that even when you have an entire society that does something, but no one else does it like that, so we don't even care. Even in that place, it's not considered a Kedera. Right? And the question is, how do you tip the balance? I don't know. My sense is that if your way of doing things can pervade the whole world, even if you're not going to be a roiv, but if every country has sushi bars, right? So I think that now that's a normal way. If every country would have a certain amount of people that carry stuff on their head, then who's a little win? I don't know if it has to be a roiv. I don't know, but the point.
Tel Aviv has the most sushi bars in the world.
Really?
Per capita.
So, is that true? Does it change?
Fishermen have always eaten fish raw. That's not a new thing.
Who? Okay. What?
Fishermen.
Tuna.
Fishermen
on the boats.
I get seasick. I don't know.
Okay, let's just look. We're not going to have time for the Avnei for the Agli Tal that we'll do next week. Baruch Hashem, but let's just finish the Rav Chanan over here, and the Eglin Tal is going to pick up where he left off. When you have a C-section baby, the Ein Ima Tmeya Leida, right? It says Ishoki says Yaviol Dazachar V'Tamashivas Yamim. So, like we said, that's the more calm version of we're now holding on page Kufi Dalad in Ois Reish Dalad Rav Chanan, and the Gemara already tells us that if the birth is not natural, so that the halachas change. And Rabbi Chananel quoted in Reish Gimel said that even if the pregnancy is not regular, the halacha will change. Says the Rabbi Chananel, Ois Reish Dalad. When you have a C-section baby, the ain't ima tamei leida, she's not tamei leida. Pirush Rashi becharis mem zayin. Rishon deksiv kisele, yishok kisazria. Right. Derech leida, uvetoyses shamkas with the ikakradim uta yotei doifen is a pasuk. Vetzarech tam lekushta the milsa lama le nimatu michitele. V'shema yesh loymar lefi mashakas of a ran biyuma leinin minol sheinah shel ar the loymikri naal. So the ran says the mesachas yuma legabe the iser of yom kippur to wear a shoe that if it's not a leather shoe it's not called a naal. The ain't a malbush. When we call muck and beam kipper, have a malbush. Why that call loves and I said beam kippurin? The usher be minor shall art. Vahinami be yoitsa dofen, the oisin cane, replace the connoisseur elders, mikri derech leda, the calf of Sukkotis. Throws Rabbi Chanan a massive bomb and he goes one step further. According to this Rabbi Chanan, there's a case to make today. That if a kid is a C-section, you do the bris on Shabbos.
That's the answer.
You heard it here first. Rabbi Chanan said, it's not the majority, but every hospital is equipped to do this. It's not a crazy aberration that they don't even do. It's like a last-second thing, everyone's going to die. It's the answer. And nowadays, it happens all the time. I think it was rated for many years the most often performed unnecessary medical procedure in the world was a C-section, because everyone's scared of their back, everyone's scared to get sued. So C-section. Right, so Rabbi Chanan says something. I'm taking it a step further. Rabbi Chanan says she's tamei aleda. Now I'm adding, if that's the case, maybe even the bris should be derech Shabbos if this is a normal thing. And if you notice, Rabbi Chanan is talking. He doesn't get into the kishkes, but I'm just going to end with this point. Is this a drasha? Kisele, or is it just reading the words and using the klal of the Torah? And every time we say you ate and you gave birth and all the things the Torah says, is that what we call a drasha in quotation marks, or is it just the Torah has a rule that it's normal? So it's the meat, you could call it a meat, but what you're really doing is saying just define the terms and then say what the din is. Is it a separate drasha that we make that doesn't sound straightforward, or maybe that's the straightforward meaning is that when you give birth normally. Okay, so Adkan, I think Rabbi Chanan is blown open the sugya for us. I'm going to have to try to bring it back in the upcoming weeks to see where we focus is just on Shabbos and where are we going to the Kala Tera Kula. And Be'ez Hashem, we will continue To educate ourselves about the basics of Melachos of Shabbos.
Rabbi, there are people who are machmir the shoes on Shabbos, like in the place where there's no eight.
You're asking if there are people like that?
Yeah, according to this shoot to life.
Right, right. Really? That's a good... No, he's asking. I don't know the answer to that question. I do think also...
In Yerushalayim, right. They're not
no, but I think also that's something that's been changing. That it used to be, to wear sneakers that were not real leather. It was the biggest busha. Now everything. What? It reminds me of the machlokes. You're reminding me of machlokes that the Magen Avraham says that on Pesach, where you can't drink beer, so it's the derech to drink vodka and other such things and med. And therefore, you can use it as chumah medina. And the Mishnah Berurah Paskin is not like that. He says it doesn't help because the only reason is you're forced because of Pesach. So it's interesting that when it comes to Yom Kippur, that he's saying it's the same thing. It's similar to the Magen Avraham.
Yeah.